entered access code 648568.
Our Father, hallelujah. And we know that a part of glory glorification is that we know that this corruptible, this body that we live in,
yes, it is.
Right?
Yeah.
Well, like,
put on
incorruptible, right?
Yeah.
Now, we will put on an incorruptible.
Yes, we will put on an incorruptible body.
But right now, we're in a corruptible.
Yes. Uh-huh. Something that's I will come. Oh, he said, I will come in to him, and I will sup with him, and he with me. So he will come in, right?
Yeah.
Now, remember, he said, Jesus said, my sheep what? Know my voice. Uh-huh. Right? Now, listen, it says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice. He didn't say hear the knock. He
says hear his voice.
Hear his voice. Uh-huh. And open the door. I will come in to him and will sup with him, and he with me. He says, here I am. Stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with him, and he with me. He stands at the door of everyone's heart, knocking for their entire life, waiting for them to listen. Notice he says, if you will hear my voice, not someone reading the Bible, not an altar call. If after you hear his voice, if you open the door by acknowledging his voice as the Son of God, receiving him with honor, because then, and only then, he will come in, give you food, and eat with you. So who will give you food?
God will.
He will.
Yeah, he will.
Uh-huh. He will give you food. And then you what? Eat it with him.
And eat, yeah.
Oh, my goodness. Look at that. Right there. Look at that established relationship right there.
Yeah.
It's some people, let's take it. When you at work, should I say? It's some people who I eat with, and some people I don't. Correct?
Yeah.
Because I have built a relationship with some people,
yeah.
So therefore I eat with them.
Mm-hmm.
And so here it is that Jesus is—he's portraying a relationship of eating intimately. Okay. And where is in? It isn't church. It isn't your house. It isn't the Bible study. He comes into your heart. Inside our heart is where all the changes have to take place. He has to circumcise our hearts to make us pleasing to him. Making a new heart, giving us a new mind, giving us new deeds and words, making us a new creature. And until then, you, the old fleshly creature, has to die on the cross, the inward cross of self-denial in your heart. This is true inward religion, not outward observing of water, wine, baptisms, singing, sermons, prayer group, etc., which are all the ritual works of the unredeemed, unchanged fleshly man. Thou must be worshipped in spirit and in truth.
Amen.
We have anything to say about that?
No, I know that that last sentence would make a whole lot of people upset.
Oh, yes, it would.
Oh, wow. The two last sentences would make
people upset. Uh-huh. Now, our observance
of
water, wine, baptism, singing, sermons, prayer groups, etc.
Yeah, but because we all have taken all of that into consideration.
Yes, we have.
Yes, we did.
Uh-huh. It kind of brings to mind where the Pharisees really got upset when Jesus told him about drinking and eating his flesh.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That kind of ties into something with him, doesn't it? Well, he said, except the man eat my flesh and drink my blood, he has no life in him.
Yeah, some of them thought that he was telling them to become cannibal.
Yeah.
Because it was symbolic what he was telling them, but they were taking it as a reality.
Yeah.
And so some of them believed that he had wanted them to become cannibalistic.
I think that what they did was they didn't want to hear the meaning of what he said, or they didn't wait, because on the Last Supper, what did he say? Take the cup, right?
Yeah.
He said, this is my what?
Blood.
And then he said, take the bread, this is my
flesh.
Thank you very much. So they didn't even wait to the end of the story.
Mm-hmm.
They judged the beginning of the story. And that's what people do in our lives.
Yeah,
don't they?
Take it out of context, like so many of us do today.
Yes. And
we don't read the whole thing.
People will look at our lives, right? Instead of waiting to see the end of the story, they'll judge you in the beginning.
Yeah.
People do that all the time.
All the time. That's true.
Right?
That's true.
And so, so we have to understand that we have to be patient. We have to be patient with God and allow Him to even explain the end of things. Instead of, you know, they got all upset. But see, that was something that had to happen because it was according to prophecy.
Mm-hmm.
According to prophecy. So when the change is in your heart, right? The change is in your heart. It says it's where all the changes have to take place. He has to circumcise our hearts to make us pleasing
to
Him.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah. Making a new heart. I'm going to say that again. Making a new heart is where all, see, there it is. So He has to make a new heart, right?
Yeah.
Remember He told the nation of Israel that I'm going to give you a fleshly heart?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. See, He wrote on stone because that stone represented their heart.
Wow.
Yeah, they had hard hearts.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. So you have to understand, He said, new covenant is, I will give you a fleshly heart.
Mm-hmm.
I will give you a new heart
mm-hmm.
after me.
Mm-hmm.
Wow, that's beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
So what happens when Christ come in? Where does the changes begin?
In our heart.
In our heart.
Our heart.
Does a change begin at church?
No.
Does a change begin at Bible study?
No.
Is it an outward thing?
No.
No, it's an inward thing.
Inward.
Huh? So Ephesians 4:21 says, if so, be that ye have heard Him and have been taught by Him, as the truth is in Jesus.
Okay.
My goodness. If so, be that ye have heard Him and have been taught by Him, as the truth is in Jesus. Right? That's Ephesians. And that is Paul writing the letter, right, to the church at Ephesus.
Mm-hmm.
So, who was teaching them? Was Paul teaching them?
The Holy Spirit was teaching them.
Oh, my God.
The Holy Spirit was teaching them because it says that He's the one that's going to teach us all truth.
He will.
Yes.
So the truth is, the is And he is teaching us.
Yeah, that's what it says.
Okay. See, if indeed you have heard him and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus. In John 14:17, even the spirit of truth, hallelujah. Now this is Jesus speaking here. He says, even the spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. Now he's going to say, you're special. You're special. But you know him. For he dwelleth with you. Now watch this. And shall be in you. What? Okay. So, what was Jesus saying?
Well, he was saying that the world could not understand the spirit of truth.
Okay.
Because it cannot be seen.
Okay.
And because it cannot be seen, people will not even bother to know who he is.
Yes.
It says, but ye know him,
uh-huh,
for he dwelleth with you.
With you.
And shall be in you.
Oh, right. So it's all evidence for Jesus. Is the spirit of truth.
Yeah.
Okay? Because he says right here, for he dwelleth with you.
Yeah. I think Chris
and
had a question.
And shall be in you.
Yeah.
So was he talking to them of that day? Because he's saying right there,
yes,
he was talking to them of that day.
Yes.
And he says, and he shall be, which means after the resurrection, he was going to be in them.
After the resurrection?
Uh-huh.
Or the day of Pentecost.
Yes. Okay.
Ah. Mm-hmm. And shall be in them. That's beautiful.
There's another question.
Yeah.
The reason why the world cannot receive them, because they're always looking outward.
Yes.
Yes, they are.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And it's an outward thing.
It says the world cannot receive, but it seeth him not, knoweth, and neither knoweth him. But he says, but you know him, and he dwelleth with you, shall be in you.
So the reason why he's saying that we know him is because we heard his voice when he was knocking and we opened the door.
We opened the door,
Because a lot of times we say that he just stands at the door and knock and you open the door, but he said that he stands at the door and knock.
Yes.
And when you hear his voice, you open the door.
Yes. So you hear him
everybody
before you
is hearing
open
that
the
voice.
Door. Yes.
Wow.
Yes. Yes. You hear him before you even open the door.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Woo. He's knocking. What? Every day. Every day he's knocking on hearts.
Well, even in the natural, you don't open the door until you hear the knock.
And now in these days, you don't open the door until you hear the knock and ask, who is it?
Exactly.
We have a peephole, you look through the
peephole. But we don't have no peephole inside our body.
Well, the Bible says that he came into his own and his own.
Received him?
Yeah.
So what is it that... because it was predestined before time.
Oh, yes, it was.
It was, yeah.
Because I was just getting ready to ask a question, but I answered it when I remembered what he said. It was predestined before time.
Uh-huh.
That we would know his voice. We would know his voice. We would hear it.
Uh-huh.
And we would receive
Yes.
So he knew him before the beginning of time. Is that it? Because we knew him before the beginning of time, and he knew us before the beginning of time.
Ben? Ben? Oh. I don't think he's on.
You what?
I don't think he's on.
Yeah,
because that sounds like that would be the case. Because I had a question.
Are you here?
Yeah, I had a question.
Go ahead.
Oh, I was asking.
You were saying the reason that we recognized the voice was because we were predestined
before the beginning of the world.
Yeah.
Why we knew his voice? Because it was seated. It was embedded in us. That longing was put in us even before we were born into the world, just like when he talked to Jeremiah, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. The thing is, I did the study the other day about Jeremiah, and Isaiah said things about his birth. Before he was formed, Paul said it as well, and others said it too. So before this was over, before everything was over, they had an understanding of where they came from. And see, and I don't know about you, but I'm getting closer and closer and closer of the true identity, of who I am.
Me
true
too.
Identity.
Yes.
That's what God is revealing.
Yes. Yes.
The true identity.
Yes.
It's not what people say about me on the outside of all of that. No, that's on the outside. The Bible says to spiritual treasures which are in heaven, right? It says, set your affections on things above. Mm-hmm. Now, not things on earth. Now, we have to understand that what he was saying is things above is the things or the nature that God has given you from above. Set your affection on that. Not on things on the earth as far as what? Your flesh, the desires of the flesh.
Mm-hmm.
So God is revealing to us every day of our true selves. And that we are in the image of God. And people want to say, well, in the image of God, well, the Bible says in Colossians that who is the image of God? Now, the image of God is Christ.
Mm.
Oh, man.
Right.
Christ is the image of God, and we were made in the likeness of what?
So that's the image that God wants us to portray, is the image that dwells in us.
Uh-huh. Can I say that Christ took back his image when he dwelt in us? Hallelujah.
He took back his image.
Yes. Because we were in Adam first, right?
Yeah.
And that's Adam all died. But in Christ, all shall be made alive.
Yes. Yeah.
So it's and this what this lesson is unfolding. It's gonna unfold that to you. This is just a beautiful lesson.
It is.
It said even the spirit of truth whom the world cannot receive because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him, for he dwelleth in you and shall be in you. Note that. It shall be in you. He did not say, Jesus was not talking about a temple here, a church, or a house, or anything else that he was going to dwell in. He said, I'm going to dwell in you.
Yes.
Shall be in you. Now, 2 Corinthians 4, 10 to 11. He says, always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest on your body.
It's
talking about your body.
Yeah.
It's not talking about a building.
That's right.
It's not a cathedral or a temple. It's talking about your body.
Yes.
Your
body.
Uh-huh. Of Jesus might be made manifest in your body.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Wow. In. Okay. Romans 1:19.
You finished the paragraph.
I'm sorry. All right. In your body.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Did I finish it?
No, it's
always bearing about in our flesh the same death on the inward cross.
Yes, the inward cross.
The inward cross.
Yes,
inward cross. So that the life of Jesus may be revealed in our body.
In your body.
Wow.
In our body.
Your old nature is to be crucified on the cross.
In the inside. Wow.
In the inside.
It is when we who live are constantly progressing to death.
Yes.
Crucifying the old man.
Uh-huh.
For Jesus' sake, so that the life of Jesus might be revealed in our mortal body.
Yes.
As our selfish spirit, the old man, dies on the inward cross of self-denial, Jesus increases in us like the bread in heaven.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Read that again.
Yes. Yeah.
For we who live are constantly progressing to death, crucifying the old man for Jesus' sake, so that the life of Jesus might be revealed in our mortal body, up to our mortal flesh.
Yes.
As our selfish spirit, the old man, dies on the inward cross of self-denial, Jesus increases in us like bread is leaven.
Yes.
Wow.
Uh-huh.
I love that inward cross.
Inward. It's inward.
Mm-hmm. That's the nail on the head. Oh, my goodness.
Romans 1:19. Mm-hmm. Watch this. Because that which may be known of God, let's say that again. Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them. For God hath shown it unto them. Is he hiding anything?
No.
Is he hiding anything?
No.
And we have heard time and time again, you know everything when you get there.
In the by and by.
You got too many questions, man.
Yeah.
Kind of right. It talks about where Christ will be in the secret. Believe them not.
Yeah.
You know.
Mm-hmm, that's right. Believe them not, because he's going to let you know.
He's going to let you know.
He's going to let you know.
Uh-huh. Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God hath showed it unto them. He didn't hide anything.
No.
It says, what may be known of God is revealed in them, for God hath showed it to them. Paul is saying, whatever is to be learned about God is to be revealed in a man's heart by revelation.
Amen. Yeah.
Hallelujah.
Yes.
See, this takes it out of man's hand.
Yes, it does.
See, it takes your relationship, and this is beautiful because it takes your relationship because that man will tell you all that you don't have. What God say will tell you all that you do have.
Yes. Yes.
Huh? That man will tell you all that you're not, but God will tell you all that you are.
Uh-huh.
Yes. Yeah. Huh?
Yes. Not only that, man will try to keep from you a lot of things that he knows and knows that he should reveal.
Yes.
To puff himself up.
Yes. Uh-huh.
To make it that he's more knowledgeable than you are.
Oh, yes.
He's this special person that God only reveals things to him, but God says he'll reveal it to all.
That's why if I get anything, I'm quick to share it.
Yes, me too.
I'm quick to share it.
To all.
To all. So what may be known of God is revealed in them. God has shown it to them. He didn't hide anything.
No.
It said whatsoever is to be learned about God is to be revealed in a man's heart by revelation. By revelation. So God is showing us, he's teaching us, and we hear his voice.
And he's revealing it to us.
And because he's in the inside of our hearts. Uh-huh. 2 Corinthians 13:5. Examine yourselves. All right? But he didn't tell anybody to examine one another, did he?
No, he did not. That's good.
Don't examine me. Paul is saying, examine yourselves.
Yes.
Well, then you be in the faith. Take observation. Uh-huh. Prove your own selves. Hey, they say prove one another. Prove your own selves. Know ye not your own self, how that Jesus Christ is in you, except ye be reprobate.
Yes.
Examine yourselves whether you are in the faith. Prove yourselves. Do you not know yourself that Jesus Christ is in you unless you are reprobate or tested, rejected, abandoned to sin? So you have to do what? Examine yourselves.
That's right.
Don't let nobody examine you.
You examine yourself.
You're supposed to examine yourself.
Yes.
Uh-huh. And do what? Whether you be in the faith. Prove your own self. You said prove your own self.
That's right. You see, we're tested or rejected or abandoned.
Yeah. So that's what we have to do.
Yes.
It's not for anyone to try to examine you. No. Isn't it funny that God even, hallelujah, left it up to you to examine yourself?
Yeah, that is something. He left it up to us to do it to ourselves.
Did he? Huh?
Yeah, he's trying to
prove ourselves.
Do you not know yourself?
Yeah, know yourself.
That's right.
Huh? How that Jesus Christ is in you? You don't even know yourself.
Oh, no, he's in the church.
He's in you. So, well, Paul is saying, you're not even in touch with yourself.
Mm-hmm. That's what he's saying.
It's people that are lost because they don't have a identity. I remember saying this 2 years ago. I said the reason why people are messed up today is because they have a spiritual identity crisis.
Yes. Right. I remember you saying that.
They don't know who they are spiritually.
Yeah.
And that's the problem.
And when you were saying that to me, I was saying, like, my brain could not even comprehend it. It was like, what is he saying?
Mm-hmm. You don't know who you are.
Yeah, well, I know who I am. I'm the king's kid.
See, some people think they're their past. You're not even your past.
Nope.
You're not even your past.
That's right.
Where are you now? in the present. You're in
That's
the
right.
now.
That's right.
You're not back there years ago. You are in the now, in the present, right
yeah.
now.
That's right.
Hallelujah. So, examine yourselves, whether you be in the faith, prove your own selves. Know you not your own selves? How that Jesus Christ is in you? Except you be reprobate. So what is that saying? You have to start examining yourself and know that Christ is in you.
Yes.
Wow. Ephesians 3:16. Ephesians 3:16. That he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might by his spirit in the outer shell.
The inner man.
The inner man? He said inner man?
Inner man.
What?
Inner man.
So all the riches of his glory dwells where?
In the inside.
Yeah. No, you're not yourself. That Christ is in me.
Not the cars, the houses, the money, the big bank accounts.
No. The riches of his glory.
Of his glory.
Yes.
Yeah.
To be strengthened with. To be strengthened with
yeah.
his might.
His might.
Uh-huh.
By his spirit.
Yes.
With his might. The might. His might and his spirit are two different things.
Mm-hmm.
Well, guess what? So you can never say you're weak.
That's right.
Hallelujah.
Did it say to be strengthened with might by...
To be strengthened with might
by his,
and by
might.
His spirit in the yeah. inner man. You already got it. Quit tripping.
Yes.
His might is power. It's
power.
Yes.
Yes.
You already got it.
Yes.
Quit
trying.
We always want to reach out and touch
yes.
something.
Yes.
Well, it's already in you.
It's already there.
See, that's what the disciples had that problem. When Jesus, when he talked to the woman of Samaria, he said, he sent them out into town right, to get meat, and they came back. And Jesus said, hey, I've already eaten. They said, what? You already eaten? What are you talking about? Did somebody give him some meat or give him something to eat? Jesus said, no, the meat that I eat is to do the will of my Father.
Mm-hmm.
There's the meat. It's to do the will of the Father.
Yeah.
So that's the meat. That's the meat of the inner man. That's the meat of the inner man, is to do the will of the Father.
Yes. That's right.
Yes. So, it says, this is a powerful scripture, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory, not yours.
Yes.
So God is unlimited, right?
That's right.
Unlimited.
Okay. Riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his spirit in the inner man, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by the spirit, by his spirit in the inner man. Ephesians 3:20. Now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all we ask. Now we quote this scripture so many times, haven't we?
Yes. Yes.
Now watch this. Now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that you ask or think. There it is. According to the power that worketh
in us.
Thank you. That worketh in us.
According to the power that worketh in us.
According to the power that worketh in us. Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. According to the power that worketh within us, the power that cleanses you, purifies you, circumcises your heart, and mortifies sin, which power is released by, number one, the true gospel. Number two, the inward cross of self-denial. And number three, thinking on the name of Jesus while silently listening for the Lord's teachings and commands.
Praise.
That's powerful. Yeah.
That's how the power is released. You said it's released.
Yes.
By these things.
Yes. All that is happening inside of us. Fierce.
So we do it by just plain obedience.
Yeah, you got it.
Well, who's going to be obedient? Not you.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
I need that power that works in us.
Oh,
we need that power.
You have it. You have it. You have it already.
You have the power.
Oh, yeah. To tap into it.
Yeah, that's
right. We have to write that check. That we have to go to the bank and write that check.
You have it already.
We got to write that check.
It's already there.
Yeah. The power cleanses us.
What you have to start doing in your mind, exercising, and start saying to yourself, I have strength and I have power. You have to start that.
Yeah.
Start watering the seed that's already planted.
Yeah.
What is the affirmation we used to say every morning? I am whole. I am complete, and I lack nothing.
Yes, I lack. See, we think with Jehovah Jireh, we think that God is your provider, right? We only think on natural stuff. Your food.
Right.
No, he's talking about spiritual. It's the inside.
Inside.
God knows what you have need of before you even ask him in the inside, too.
Right. Yes.
That's why we go through what we have to go through.
He's working it out in the inside. He's getting
inside.
Now, if he says that that he has given us a new heart,
yeah.
Don't you know I have to believe that I have a new heart?
Yeah.
That he has given me a new heart by faith? I have to receive it?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Huh?
Yeah.
He said, knocking the what? Door be open, right? As you shall receive, right?
Yeah.
So, he's not lying.
Yeah.
So, everything that you need, he knows you have need of, and you have already given it. He's already given it to you.
Yeah.
I'm going to say this again. I'm in yourselves.
Yeah.
Whether you be in the faith, prove your own selves. Know you, not your own selves.
Yes.
Right.
How that Christ is in you.
Mm-hmm.
God is trying to make us understand by his Holy Spirit that dwells in us. He's teaching us that he dwells in the inside. And all that you need, you have.
You have it already.
Yeah.
Stop reaching out for it while you is already abiding in you.
Yes.
Stop reaching outward and start reaching inward.
Yes.
Inward.
To the power. The strength. The determination. It's Christ in you. It's Christ in you. The hope of glory.
Yes. When we reach outward for those things, that's how we get caught up in the different problems, addictions, and different things,
mm-hmm.
because we're reaching outward for something that's already in us.
Yes, already in us.
And that's when we do harm to ourselves, because he's telling us that we have to die on that intercross. Self-denial.
Yeah.
And that's how you die on that cross.
Mm-hmm.
And so because when you reach outward, you're going to please the flesh. If you reach inward, you're going to please the spirit.
Uh-huh.
You crucify crucify the flesh on that inward cross of self-denial.
Yes. And a part of that, a part of the crucifying the old man is what? The doubt.
Yes.
That's the number one thing.
That's
doubting God. I said the greatest temptation.
Yeah,
the greatest temptation is to doubt God.
That's right.
Yeah. See, that scripture it's in the book of Isaiah. It says, "For my ways are not your ways, and my thoughts are not your thoughts." We have turned that scripture around to in a negative way. God was not saying it in a negative way. He's saying simply is this: I don't love the way that you love.
Yeah.
And he's a God of a multitude of mercy, and he'll wash you white as snow regardless of whatever you did. So stop saying and thinking that you're unworthy. It's unmerited favor. It's his grace. So he knows you wasn't worthy. That's why he sent his son.
Yeah.
And that has been done, right? And then the Bible says we are children of God. God doesn't neglect his children.
No, he doesn't.
So why would he neglect you? It's about accepting and embracing everything that he has given you. It's not according to your carnal mind. No, it's all spirit. Because God wants to be worshipped in spirit and in truth.
Amen.
So it was all spirit with him. Okay. 1 John 4:4. This is beautiful. It says, "Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world." So he's in you, right? Greater is he that is in you. Well, you are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he who is in the world. Okay? Mark 4:24. And he said unto them, "Take heed that ye hear with what measure ye meet, it shall be measured to you. And unto you that hear shall more be given." So, do we understand that scripture?
Yeah.
I would like to know what meat is.
M-E-T-L.
Oh, meat. Oh, word.
And that's Mark 4:24.
Even that you even have will be taken away.
Oh my goodness.
Oh.
Are you You know how it will be taken away? You know how it will be taken away?
By yourself.
The Lord is not going to take it away from you.
No, by yourself.
It's taken away by our unbelief. Our unbelief will come
down. By yourself.
By ourselves. He doesn't take it away.
No, by yourself.
It's a mistake.
You take it away. You're doubting. You're saying, I don't have it. And you have it. Already.
When you say you don't have it, that's like having the check.
When you say you don't have it, that's just like you're taking it away.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you took it away.
Yeah, taking it away.
And the word meet, M-E-T-E, means to measure.
To measure.
Measure out or off.
Uh-huh.
Any space or distance with a measurer's reed or rule. To judge according to any rule or standard.
Any rule or standard.
Mm.
That's right.
Who's
rule? It's according to whose standard? God.
God's
standard.
Yeah. So he's not going to take it.
Uh-uh.
We'll give it up.
Now, this is beautiful, too, because it says this. It says, take heed what ye hear.
Uh-huh.
With what measure ye meet. It shall be measured to you,
uh-huh.
and unto you that hear shall more be given.
Yes, hearing his voice. Again.
The more you hear, the more he's going to give it to you.
And we're living that. We are living that.
The more you hear, the more he's going to give it to you.
That's right.
The more you believe, and the more you believe, walk in faith.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
The bigger your
faith. The more you hear. He's talking about his voice now.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
The more you hear, the more you understand, he's going to give you more.
Oh, my
goodness.
There he is. Uh-huh. Remember, Jesus said, there's a lot of things that I want to say to you. He said, but now that you couldn't hear them now.
You can't bear them now.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. So then what did he do? He waited after he resurrected, and then he expounded all things about the kingdom in the book of Acts. So, what happened? The more you hear, the more he'll give you.
And the way that we hear is to walk in what we hear.
Yes. Remember,
that's
by Bible study, that's by going to church. It's about when he's talking to you.
That's right. Yes.
Yes.
I like
so you understand. He taught them parables so much.
Uh-huh.
He taught them parables all the time.
Yeah.
Right? And because he had to, because of how they understood.
Yeah.
Yes. He had to break it. He was giving them
how
problem.
So let's look at everybody learns differently, correct?
Uh-huh. Yeah.
All right. So what? So he's going to a lot of times give it to how you will understand it, not as I will understand it.
Yeah. Right.
But as an individual, that's why he dwells in you. So you will hear his voice, and you'll understand it the way that you understand or perceive things.
Right.
As an individual.
Yeah.
And that's how we can work out our own salvation.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Uh-huh. And that's how you can examine yourself.
That's right.
Yeah.
And know who you are.
Yes, know who you are. Uh-huh. That's beautiful.
Yes, it is.
But he that hath, to him shall be given.
Mm-hmm.
And he that hath not, from him shall be taken even that which he hath.